The views, information, and opinions expressed are those of the featured guests and not those of IG Wealth Management.
I'm Manjeet Minhas, one of Canada's top entrepreneurs, and so excited for you to join us today. Through a wealth of women's stories, IG is carving out a space where women's voices are heard. If you're looking for insight and inspiration through powerful storytelling that will resonate with anyone looking for the answers to the questions that we as women ask ourselves, then this series is for you. My guest today is Jennifer Rainey, who took her favorite word when she was in her 20s and turned it into the brand name of her fashion-forward business, Malvados, inspired by her love of music, adventure, and travel. On a whim at 14, she attended the World Windsurfing Championships, which led her to competing on a world-class level and in 1990 captured the Canadian National Women's Windsurfing title. Jennifer's action sports background guided her to a successful career in the beach lifestyle apparel business, which ultimately led to entrepreneurship and founding a brand as authentic as the life she still leads. Jennifer has always been very involved in volunteer work and generously gives her time and expertise. She's raised more than $1.8 million for the Heart and Stroke Foundation and thousands more for other charities. She was one of the co-founders of Jewels for a Cause, raising funds for charities such as Kidsport, YMCA Camp, BC Cancer Foundation, and the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada. Most recently, she served on the board of Small Business BC and is a regular guest presenter at Kwantlen Polytechnic University in the Fashion Design and Marketing Program, and also has sat on their advisory board. Welcome to the podcast, Jen.
Thank you for having me, Manjeet.
So let's start today by chatting a little bit about your early years, about your upbringing. And I understand during that upbringing, you were very athletic at a young age.
Yes. I ended up, when I was in my early teens, attending a regatta in Kingston, Ontario, which happened to be the World Windsurfing Championships. And I do think that that was one of the decisions in my life that really shaped where I went and ultimately the brand that I created. At that time, I had never seen a windsurfer, didn't know anything about the sport, and I was really drawn to the lifestyle and the people. There were people from all over the world. And that really inspired me to take up the sport of windsurfing and get involved in action sports in general.
And was your family into sports?
They were somewhat into sports. My father was actually a marketing director for the company that sponsored the World Windsurfing Championships, which is why I ended up tagging along with him on that trip and getting involved in the sport.
Bring your daughter to work day, always great, right?
Exactly.
We always discover a lot more by just hanging out sometimes. It's kind of interesting. And so you were a bit of a nomad once you decided that you were going to take up windsurfing and lived in Hawaii, BC, Whistler. So tell me a little bit about how you think that that actually sculpted not only your journey, but who you were and the direction of your life.
Yeah, I ended up moving west during university, and it was through another friend of mine who was into windsurfing. But we came out west because of the water, the ocean, Whistler. And then I became very involved in snowboarding because at the time that was evolving and snowboarding and windsurfing were very compatible. But I really feel that the communities of both those sports are similar, and I loved being a part of it. And then I naturally went from being an athlete in those sports to working in the apparel side of the business.
And so you were, you know, you've done a lot of firsts in your life. You were one of the first certified female instructors in Canada for snowboarding. And that is not only pretty brave, but also I would say you've been breaking down barriers for a lot of your life. And so what inside of you has always been that motivator to try new things and then to share it with others?
I think I've always been an early adopter. I'm very curious, and I do love to learn, and I love to teach things that I'm passionate about. I've always been excited to show others things that I really love and enjoy. So that's always been very natural to me.
And how did you go from, it doesn't seem like a natural path, from competing in windsurfing and teaching snowboarding to a career in fashion retail? What was the journey there?
That's a great question. So when I was teaching snowboarding in Whistler, I started a camp, and it was a adult snowboard camp. We would travel around to various mountains in Western Canada. And at the time, we had clothing sponsors. And so that is how I got into the apparel business, was through my sponsors. And then I was looking for a move into more of a career-oriented field, and ended up working with Quiksilver and Roxy when they were really starting. And again, the whole surf culture was really evolving.
Gotcha. And what did you think that you would do within those businesses? What were you taking out of it?
Well, Roxy and Quiksilver really was this brand that was targeting me, that, you know, I was really their consumer. It was all about that beach girl, that, you know, nomad kind of traveler surfer. And so I was really captivated by the brand. And at the time I was really young, I wasn't thinking necessarily that this would be a long-term career, or that I never thought I was going to start my own brand. But working for that company was really incredible, because it was such an authentic brand, and they were at the forefront of that whole surf culture fashion movement. And I learned so much about how to build a brand, how to tell a story, and how to be a really authentic creator. So it was invaluable experience.
Yeah, it's interesting that most people, though, when they, you know, work for big companies like that, or that are on a trajectory that you can see and be a part of, they want to be a part of that ride. So what in you decided that I am going to be an entrepreneur? Your dive into that transition is pretty remarkable, because, you know, you were finding some success, you were learning, you had, you were a part of, like you say, some pretty big brands. So what motivated you, you know, at the age of 46, to launch your own brand?
I think I've always had, I've always been a bit of an entrepreneur. You know, I have had other businesses in the past. And ultimately with Malvados, I had been working for all these fantastic brands that had great stories and had great marketing, but sometimes the product wasn't so great. And with Malvados, I was also working with a number of other footwear companies within that surf culture environment. And I just saw something, I felt like something was missing, that there was a real big hole in the market, that they weren't really branding and telling a unique story. At the time, everything was surf culture, and all of the brand ambassadors were surfers. All of the marketing looked the same. And the product looked the same. So I felt like I could do something more unique and tell a better story.
Gotcha. I always find it how amazing entrepreneurs are, that they see an opportunity to solve a problem, something missing, and then they work to fill in that gap. And so tell me a little bit about that name in particular. What does it mean? Where did it come from?
Well, I had the idea of the brand, and I knew what I was going to do. And I thought, you know, I feel like names are really, really important. I love names that are sort of Latin in pronunciation. And so I wrote a list of my 10 favorite words, and I translated them to Spanish. And my first favorite word on the list was wicked, because I used to say wicked all the time in high school. And that translated in Spanish is Malvados.
Ah, I love it. Yes, it definitely was a big word, wicked, back in the day.
Yeah.
And I find it fascinating, you know, according to the Harvard Business Review, that the average age of a successful startup founder is 42. And so you were 46, and I've always believed that it's never too late and you're never too old to chase a dream and to start a business. But it's not usually where people think that entrepreneurship starts. I think we all read in the papers and, you know, online, and we hear all these stories of, you know, 20, 15, 20, 25-year-olds. Well, I was one of them too, that start businesses, and that it's sometimes too late. It's very rare. But a lot of the big entrepreneurs of our lifetime have actually started later in their career. And so why do you think it was an advantage for you to start later in your career?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we see a lot of press out there with young founders, because it's so fascinating when you hear of a, you know, somebody in their 20s creating some multi-billion dollar company. But really, the majority of entrepreneurs, really successful big entrepreneurs, are older. And I have always felt that, you know, learning is so important. And I always try and teach our staff and our interns this, that it's a really great way to become successful, to get paid to learn. You know, I went through years of working for massive fashion companies and learning so much about marketing and sales and production that saved me years and years and years of mistakes I would have made starting a brand if I hadn't done those years. So I think those early years, when you're young, if you can hone in on what you want to do and then work for some of the best that do that, you are so far ahead. And like you said, some of the, you know, biggest success stories are from older founders like Chip Wilson, 42, starting Lululemon. You know, Vera Wang started her company at 40. Martha Stewart started at 50. So it's all of that experience that goes into creating an incredible brand later in life.
Yeah. And I think I know for myself that as I'm getting older, I'm more patient. I know how to fail. I definitely have a lot of more awareness of my talents and skills. You know, naivety is sometimes good, but not always when you think you're the best at everything. And so is ego. It's a fascinating thing that as you get older, you have a little more clarity, I think, also on your values. And so let's maybe go there. Talk to me a little bit about your values and the values of your brand.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I think you really can't be a successful leader without embedding your values into what you do. And, you know, what you stand for, your core beliefs are really what drives your interactions with people and your decision making, and they go hand in hand. So I've always felt that it was really, really important. And again, going back to authenticity, you know, you can't be an authentic leader and an authentic brand without embedding what's authentically important to you.
And so how have you intertwined that with Malvados?
I think, you know, everything about our brand is tied into like how I lived my life, and our customer really lives the life that I used to lead. So I want to be able to provide them a product that they're going to be happy, you know, traveling the world with or going on adventures with. But also, you know, I also have strong beliefs in giving back, in doing volunteer work. Also just supporting our staff and encouraging our staff, and having a very mostly women operated business as well.
And so on the topic that you're not only woman-owned, but you are woman-operated. And, you know, it makes me think of a KPMG study that I read that said that over 60% of women learn the most from lessons from other women. And that's where they developed their leadership skills. They became more confident, kind of got rid of also imposter syndrome. So how did you decide, and how did you come to that decision that you were going to pretty much exclusively be a woman operated company?
I think it sort of happened organically, because originally when I started the brand, we were selling to a lot of swimwear retailers and stores. And so my first mission was to have the best sales rep, the best sales team in the market in North America. And so I went and I searched out all of the best swimwear sales representatives and swimwear showrooms. So, you know, they were mostly women in that industry, but it's a female brand. And I feel that if you're selling a product, you really need to be using the product and understanding the product. So, so it was natural just for us to have women sales reps. But also even, you know, our warehousing managers and our warehousing team, mostly all women, you know, I find that they are super organized. They're also compassionate and understanding. And I think it's really important that we tell that story as well, that we do have a mostly women operated company. We like to celebrate that for our brand.
Yeah, I think, you know, more and more consumers want to know who they're buying from, and what their company values are, where it's coming from, is it sustainable, like a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And so I've also heard that your manufacturing facility is woman-owned and operated. That must not have been easy to find and come about. And then as you've grown, you know, there must have been some harsh realities sometimes too that you had to overcome.
Yeah, our manufacturing partner, they're the same manufacturers we've been dealing with from day one, and they're phenomenal. They are a husband and wife team, but I do deal with the wife side. The husband is more in the U.S. and she's overseas. But all of the people we work with underneath her, our design, all of our production, that's all female as well. And we really like to not only celebrate our partnerships with the people that we work with within Malvados the Room, but we also celebrate what they do outside of Malvados. You know, on International Women's Day, we always do a sort of a montage video of our sales reps, our warehousing team, our production team, and all the women that are a part of it. And not just what they do for Malvados, but more what they do outside of Malvados. You know, they're incredible mothers. They're incredible athletes, some of them. They're incredible creatives. But we all share a similar commitment to the brand and what it stands for.
Kind of reminds me, you know, the meaning of the saying, success doesn't come from what you do occasionally. It comes from what you do consistently. And you guys and you yourself are definitely living that brand every single day and those values and everything that you do. Because, you know, it's easy often to say that I'm going to do that and then go out and do it and make it economical and make it, you know, the marketing and like everything and put all those pieces together, but still do it intentionally and purposefully is not as easy as it sounds when you're an entrepreneur sometimes.
That's very, very true. When you are selling a brand or whatever it is, a product, and you're the founder and you're the owner, but you're not authentic, I mean, you know, consumers are so smart these days. And I truly feel that, you know, you won't go very far without being really authentic and creating that consistent conversation about who you are and what you do and what you stand for.
And so talking about that authenticity and that consistent conversation, how have you, especially in your marketing and how your brand shows up to the world, how have you mapped that out? Because I feel like, you know, you were one of the brands who did it well before it became fashionable. And so how have you made sure that you guys are consistent? Because I think it's easy to hop on trains. It's easy to get FOMO and get away from the focus and the path that you're on. And it's interesting. Somebody the other day told me that I'm not just on a journey, because a journey can go left, right, you know, it can go backwards. I am blazing a trail, which means I am focused and I am going straight. And that is harder than it sounds to do.
Yeah, it is really, really hard. But, you know, I think branding authentically is really about having a vision and then creating a core brand experience for your vision. And that has to run through all aspects of who you are and what you do, you know, from your campaigns, your catalogs, your social media. But, you know, really people are craving loyalty and trust. And, you know, they also seek things that align with their values. And so for us with Malvados, we're always trying to build that story with our consumer. And I try to make sure that every campaign, every season, we're telling that through our campaign. And, you know, to give you an example, our recent campaign that we did for 2023, we shot in Nashville, Tennessee, because also our brand is inspired by music, travel, and fashion. Those are sort of our pillars. We shot it in Nashville, and we had our brand ambassador was Emily Rode, who is a phenomenal musician from Canada, but she was our model. The soundtrack to our campaign was her music. You know, we make sure that all of our ambassadors are either musicians, travel bloggers, or DJs. They're not models. So they are authentically also living the life that our consumer wants to lead and that we all value.
Yeah, that's not easy, but it's impressive that you are very clear on that. And I think that's why you've been so successful. What would your advice be to other entrepreneurs and other business owners that are looking to kind of embed their personal values into their brand and their organization? Even a simple thing is, where do you start?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think it comes naturally for people. I think, again, I just happened to work for some really unbelievable brands that were so authentic that to me, it was just inherent. But there are a lot of really great people out there. You know, I would say to a company that was really trying to find it, spend some time with a good consultant to really dive deep into into the founder, into the story, into the real meaning behind the brand, but spend a lot of time on that because it's crucial. It's the core of everything you should be doing in your brand.
Yeah, good point. And I like that you bring a third person into it because a lot of people believe that they have to be able to map it all out themselves, be the marketer, be the financier, be the business plan writer, be the CEO, be the, you know, manufacturer, like be the designer, be everything, but not the case. You can absolutely have people help you and you can have others help you map out what the goal is. Mm-hmm. And then as an entrepreneur, figure out that if the plan isn't working to get to the goal, you can change the plan, but you don't change the goal.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
And so what has your goal been?
Well, my goal, you know, as I mentioned before, my goal was never really to start a brand. It just sort of happened organically. But for me, I think about my brand on the feet of people, you know, out doing amazing things. You know, what they're giving us, they're trusting us in comfort. They're trusting us in style. And they're trusting us in making them look and feel good. And so my goal is to do just that, you know, provide an exceptional product, something that looks great, and something I've always had this vision to be able to offer a product that is very versatile. So for instance, you know, we talk a lot about in our branding and in our marketing of travel and being that perfect travel product. So you don't have to pack like six pairs of shoes. You can pack two or three pairs of Malvados and they will take you from that really casual setting to the beach pool to going out for a night, going to the festival. So that has also been a big part of our branding and what we want to do for our customer.
Gotcha. And I have to ask, because you talked about travel, when COVID hit, how did you and your company handle that?
That was absolutely crazy. So, you know, COVID hit like February, March. That's when we're shipping 80% of our product because we are mainly focused on brick and mortar. So all of our retailers are receiving their summer kind of spring open toe shoes during those 3 months where COVID had just hit and everything shut down, retail closed entirely. Right. So we did a really quick pivot and we moved into slippers. And I mean, it was like the fastest pivot ever. I knew I basically had a month to develop a slipper and get it out there and sell it if I was going to save my business in the next 6 months of sales. Wow. And we did. We developed a slipper. It was phenomenal. We didn't even have a sample. We had basically pictures of it and we went out and sold. It was something crazy, like 75,000 pairs in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's incredible that you actually were so close and knew that if you didn't do that, you might not survive.
Yeah. I knew we had about a month and we had to come up with something. So, you know, and it's funny because the slipper industry then took off, you know, slipper loungewear, everybody started doing it, but we did it immediately and we had great success and we're still doing a great, you know, fall slipper collection. So it's continued to be a good category.
And so did you also then try and pivot to where you're sold? Obviously you were then a more a D2C and online company. How did you manage that transition?
We actually started putting a focus on e-com about 6 months before COVID. And that was just, you know, completely just ironic that we were starting to really invest in that side of the business. So by the time COVID hit, everything was up and running. We had just moved over to Shopify. We had, you know, just changed all of our operational systems. So luckily, it all kind of coincided. And we were able to also gain a lot of new customers through e-com and through our Shopify platform.
Yeah, it's interesting how that period really tested a lot of individuals and companies, and nice to see that they came and you came out of it even stronger at the end.
Yeah, it really was.
And so what would you say, are there some mottos that you live by in your professional career and your personal life?
I would say one of my mottos is good luck is return on positive energy. I really, really believe in that. And I feel like, you know, being positive, it impacts you, everyone around you, everything you do. So I'm very positive.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think being an optimist, but also having that mindset does change a lot. It really does. It not only yourself, your mood, the way you, you know, have an outlook on life, but those around you. And I think sometimes it sounds so simple that it's underestimated.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's just funny when people say, oh, you're so lucky. Like they'll look at things that, you know, have happened in my life. Like it all just sort of fell into place, but it really hasn't. Everything has happened for a reason and a decision has gotten me to where I am today. But I will say that I've always been positive. And I think when you're positive, people want to be around you. You know, people want to help you. It's one of the most important characteristics you can have is being positive.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And with that, along with that, do you have mentors or people that you, you know, rely on in your life through not only career transitions, but also as you are going through life and you're blazing a path as an entrepreneur?
I definitely had many mentors. I believe very, very strongly in mentorship. I think it's incredibly important, you know, being able to recognize that you need to learn, but also learn from people who have either gone down that path before or have worked in the similar industries. But it's so crucial. And in terms of who my mentors are, one of my biggest mentors is Chip Wilson. I know I mentioned him earlier, but it's funny, when I was living in Ontario and starting out in the windsurfing space, Chip was with West Beach, and he was actually one of my first sponsors. So we knew each other back when I was in my 20s and have always been friends and kept in touch. And then when I was starting Malvados, I had reached out to Chip, you know, to get together and get some advice. And we started doing the Gross Grind, which is, you know, a very difficult hike over in Vancouver, North Vancouver. And, you know, we've spent years and many, many, many hours hiking and talking, and it's just, he's been a really massive source of inspiration and feedback and invaluable information for me through this whole journey.
Yeah, definitely talk about somebody who's had a life full of ups and downs and reinvented himself. And that would be invaluable, and to be on the sidelines, but then also creating your own company at the same time is pretty amazing. Talk to me about the impacts of volunteerism and socializing. I know you talk about it a fair bit, about giving back and the importance of volunteerism. You are involved in lots of different charities, and Movados is a key partner with Souls for Souls Canada. So why do you feel that community involvement is so important, not only personally, but for your organization?
I think, Manjeet, I have always strongly believed that the height of your success is equal to the depth of your gratitude. I also really believe that, you know, you can't expect your community to care about you if you don't care about them. And I feel that, you know, my greatest sense of accomplishment is always when I'm doing something for others or something for my community. So I feel really strongly about that. And of course, you know, that being one of my core values, I've tried to embed that in Malvados through a number of different initiatives that we do. We do work with Souls for Souls, which is a really fantastic organization. They collect gently used or new shoes, and we give them all of our old stock. And we also do shoe drives with our retailers so they can collect gently used and provide them to the community. We've done things like, you know, we donate flip-flops to charity events so that we've had a flip-flop valet at the dance floor. So, it's people love it. You know, you're in your gala dress and your heels, and there's a, you know, a basket of Malvados. So we do that. We've done things like the same thing for our high school grads. You know, local high schools will do the same thing for their events. And so we try to be involved in all kinds of different events and giving back and just, you know, being there to support the community.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've heard you say that you believe real networking is called socializing. Expand on that thought a bit.
I would say that the very essence of my business success has been my innate interest in people and giving people time and being interested in people. I love people. I love being in a crowd and getting to know people. And so that's just a fundamental part of who I am. But I see it in everything that I do in my business has been, I feel like it's come from the successful relationships I had or have. You know, for instance, the sales reps that I hired right off the bat, you know, they were all people I knew through the industry, through my previous work with Roxy and Quiksilver and other brands. The instant sort of success or adoption to Malvados from the retailers in North America was because of the relationships I had with them, you know, previous with the brands that I worked with. You know, and there's so many stories I could tell about networking and how I've met somebody and how that has turned into something really phenomenal for my business. I just feel like it's a very crucial part of success for me.
And how do you approach networking? Because I think most people would say is that, oh my God, how do you choose? There's so many things, groups that you can be a part of, go to conferences, events, like you can fill up literally all your days with that. So how have you been choosy, or have you not been, to choose where you network?
I wouldn't say that I've ever actually gone out and gone to a networking event for networking. When I think of networking, I think of just, you know, meeting people, staying connected, listening, you know, always having that in the back of your head that you met somebody and that somebody knew somebody, and, you know, just staying in contact. I'm really good at staying in contact with people. So it's not necessarily that I go to networking lunches or groups. I don't do any of that. It's that I, you know, I'll give you an example. For instance, you know, there was somebody, a owner of a brand in California who I've really admired, and I wanted to get to know her. I was planning a trip to California and I hounded her through LinkedIn to go for lunch with me. We're kind of in the same industry. And so we went for lunch. We got along. I stayed in contact with her. Then a month later, she happened to be doing a photo shoot, a loungewear photo shoot with Paula Abdul, and my slippers were on Paula Abdul. You know, so it's like that type of networking, not so much that you're going and wearing a badge and meeting people in the room. It's that looking for opportunities to meet people and then staying in contact with them, because you never know how important that connection is going to be.
I couldn't agree more. What do you find is the best tool to stay in touch? Do you use email, text, do you use social media? What have you found to be the most effective for you?
That's a really good question. I do all of the above. I am definitely active on social media myself, like personally and business-wise, and LinkedIn I think is really important. You know, what I tend to do a lot, and actually you are one of my recipients, is I send people product, you know, out of the blue. I'll find out if it's somebody's birthday and I'll send them a box of Malvados. So I tend to do little surprise things like that as well.
Yeah, it was a very nice surprise when I came home, actually by chance, just before my birthday.
Oh, that's perfect.
And there is something to say, to touch, to feel, to be surprised, because your packaging is beautiful too. It is quite a nice surprise for sure. And so what would your advice be to women, especially who feel that they're not extroverts, that socializing is not something that they are good at?
That's a great question. You know, because I have three children, and I talk a lot about socializing with my kids and making connections with people and staying in contact with people. And not all of my kids are extroverted. And so one piece of advice that really helped me when I was younger is when I was younger and I would go to a party or to an event, and I would have to be social, and maybe I wasn't feeling that social that evening, I would think about my most social friend and what would she do? And I would pretend I was her for that night. So I would really put myself into her mindset, you know, and for me, her name's Cindy. And so if I'm not feeling extra social, I just, you know, think about how Cindy would act in that room. And that's always helped me.
I love that. Bring out the inner Cindy.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's a good one. I had a mentor. He's no longer around, and he always used to tell me that networking is not collecting contacts. It is about planting relationships.
Yes.
And I didn't completely understand that until I too discovered after years that, you know what, I am going back to those people, and we've actually both done different things. And you, when you meet up again, it's like meeting not only an old friend, but you follow each other's lives and journeys.
Yes.
And you never know, because those days are long gone, but we stay in one career or one business for, you know, 4 decades. And so
yeah.
I have found so much so that a lot of people in my old school Rolodex have come in much handier than I ever thought they would.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And, you know, even with people who work for me in sales, you know, it's especially I find younger generation, because they're not used to phoning and talking to people. You know, everything they do is like text messaging. And so, but it's, as we know, as business people, you have to have those personal relationships. You have to be in front of people and talking to people. But I always try and get them to think about those conversations as not being so much business, but being really more about almost a friendship level, where you really, and I think, because I am really truly interested in people and what they're doing and how they're doing, not just work-wise, but I try and get them to put themselves in that mindset, not the closing the deal, getting the order. It's really about, how is your store doing? How, you know, how's your family? What, you know, taking it to a different level.
Yeah, true. And I think that most relationships that are built over time, we are all at our core humans that want and need relationships. And as we grow together, even if we don't even see each other for years on end, I think that we're always all cheering for each other. I mean, women especially.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I think most of us, as we get older and find our own success, discover that supporting another's success will never dampen our own. And when we're younger, we don't necessarily always understand that.
Yes, exactly. I completely agree with you on that. Yeah.
Is there anything else that we did not chat about that you'd like to talk about?
I don't think so. You know, this has been a great conversation. And I think, you know, part of the, like, one of the things we touched on at the very beginning, again, that I really believe in, is that, you know, like, loving what you do will really lead to your success. And the idea of focusing on developing your skills and abilities and getting paid to learn, you know, doing your research, and then the success will come. I think that's so important.
Yeah. On that topic, I too have met a lot of people that I, you know, have said that to, because I am blessed, like yourself, that likes what I do. But I've had a lot of people push back on me and say that I don't know what I like. I don't know that I'm passionate about anything. And so it's an interesting conversation with somebody who wants to be an entrepreneur, who wants to forge their own path, that, and wants to solve problems, but sometimes says, I don't really know, like, what sparks me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't always have an answer for them.
Yeah. I've heard that too. I agree with you. And maybe those people haven't experienced enough, you know, maybe they haven't really gone out and experienced life enough. You know, because we all have that in us to be passionate about something, but you have to find that passion. And, you know, again, that travel is such an important, I think, part of life. I think when you go and you travel and you are in different cultures and different people, it will open your eyes, and I think you'll find it.
Yeah. Yeah. I that is the answer I am using from now on.
Yeah.
So what's next for you, Jennifer? What's next for Malvados?
I am really looking forward to some of the innovation that's happening in fashion right now in the world with tech. And that is something that's, it's really piqued my interest. Like, there is a lot going on right now with NFT fashion and with the metaverse. I'm really intrigued by that. So that's something that I'm working on, and hopefully we'll be in that, in the metaverse at some point with Malvados. But yeah, other than that, just trying to live life every day and enjoy traveling and my family and what I do.
Fantastic. Any final pieces of advice you'd give our listeners, especially the women entrepreneurs that are listening?
I would say keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate things in general, I think is a really good piece of advice. I think we just get so wrapped up in trying to be more, do more. So yeah, I would say keep it simple. And again, love what you do. Work hard. You know, nothing comes easy. So those are my words.
Well, thank you. I appreciate them. Thank you so much for joining me today, Jen. And for our audience, remember that good luck is a return on positive energy. And thanks for everyone for tuning in today. I encourage you to find the wealth in your own stories and remember to determine what you stand for and embed that into everything that you do. We look forward to having you back for our next episode presented by IG Wealth Management. You can learn more by visiting ig.ca/women. And you can also find that link in the description of this episode. Cheers. See you next time.
This has been a Wealth of Women Stories, hosted by Manjeet Minhas and presented by IG Wealth Management. The views, information, and opinions expressed are those of the featured guests and not those of IG Wealth Management.